This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday afternoon. Another impressive win by the Wolves, in particular by Andrew Wiggins and the best analyst in the NBA. Jim Peterson is kind enough to join us. I've got a couple points before we get to the Wolves game and what's going on with Andrew. I did something last night that until I met you 20 years ago, I had never heard of. What did I do?
I don't know. You tweeted at me?
No, I did. Yeah, that's true. I did tweet. I did tweet at you and compare myself to Tim Duncan. So, yes, that is also something. I'll phrase the question. I did something last night. I've done it now a number of times, but until I met you, I had never heard of this. Any guesses?
Until you met me, you'd never heard of this?
Had never heard of it.
You looked up Johnny on the Spot.
No, I did hear that, but then I went to do this. Who is Johnny? Did we figure out who Johnny is and why?
Johnny is just an everyman. He's an everyman. Yeah, like, you know, it's an acronym from back in the 1800s. So yeah. You know, who knows?
When we were born. I did hot yoga.
The suspense is killing me. Just
hot
tell me.
Yoga. I did hot yoga. I never had heard of this until I met you, and you told me about this Bikram guy who, by the way, has had some issues.
Yes, but
I'm not very good at it. I try hard, and I think it's a great workout.
I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
I wish I would have done it earlier. Kareem turned me on to it after I had already had two knee surgeries. Abdul-Jabbar was a big-time devotee back in the 70s and 80s. In fact, when I retired and moved to San Diego, I would drive up to L.A. and go to Bikram's studio in L.A. And I would be – I think I might have even told you this. I'd be standing next to Raquel Welch in class.
I would have signed up for that.
She was fabulous, man.
Yeah.
She looked great. Like, this is like 1993, something like that.
Yep. In fact, Raquel Welch is on the line right now. Raquel, come on in. Okay, so did you feel comfortable? I mean, you're not exactly going to blend in at 6'10", 250 pounds.
Yeah, but at the time, I'm an elite athlete, Chad. Come on. Like, I'm chiseled. I'm 6'10".
Feathered hair still.
Oh, yeah. Had lots of hair at that point.
Yes.
And was not ashamed to take my shirt off like I am now.
Yeah, okay. Where do you stand on that? Because in the class last night, there was one guy, and he's in good shape. He had the shirt off. Guys, hot yoga shirt on or off?
Well, if you don't have hair all over your back and stuff like that, like some of these guys, there was a guy one time in a class, like literally like he had a sweater on, okay? like put a shirt on. Okay, I don't want to see all that.
Yes. This guy had a hairy back, Jim.
Most guys that I see in those hot yoga classes, they have their shirt off. I think it's fine.
This guy had a hairy back. This guy. Okay, let's say you have and you don't, and I'm not going to say why I know this. You don't have a hairy back. If you did, what would you do about it? I mean,
it would depend upon how self-conscious I was about it.
Okay, it's you. How self-conscious would you be? I think you would be. I would be.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, if our guy Hondo, Hondo the magician, like he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He won't mind me saying that.
Yes.
He knows because he goes to Bikram yoga and he does take his shirt off, so he's fine with it. He's a pretty hairy guy. And he's fine with it. Hondo is, that's what I love about the guy. Like, he just is okay with who he is. I think.
Wait, that's what you love about him, that he has hair on his back?
No, he's okay with who he is.
Yeah, that's true.
At some point, hey, listen, when I was 24 years old, the idea of not having my hair, like losing my hair, like really like frightened me.
Yeah.
And then once it got down, like Chad, you were there when I made the transition.
Yes.
I just cut it off. You know.
You had the peninsula for a little bit.
Yes, I did have the peninsula for a little while, but then I just shaved it off.
Yes.
And I didn't even look back. I didn't even look back.
I contend that you have certain people who have a good-looking bald head and can pull it off. You have a good-looking bald head. You pull it off. It's tougher for folks who have kind of, I don't know, not a perfectly round.
A big knotty head?
Yes.
Like knots in their head?
Yes, like it's a British Open fairway. I mean, you really don't want to have that. Okay, one other thing. Tell people about the flight back from Detroit the other night, because when people ask me about, you know, broadcasting and what I miss, and there's a lot of what I miss, what the number one thing I don't miss, Pete, is the waiting, is the you're stuck and you want to get to something else and you just can't do it. And you had a prominent example of this the other night.
Yeah, I mean, we were after the Detroit game, you know, you're always kind of liking those Detroit, Indiana, Chicago games because, well, mainly Eastern time, close Eastern mm-hmm. Conference teams like Indiana, like in Detroit, you know, because you fly back home and you gain an hour, so then
exactly.
you're getting back in a really nice time. So we were on the plane at 10:50 after the game. Usually we say, you know, for a 7 o'clock game, we say wheels up. 4 hours
Four
afterwards,
hours.
Right?
Yep.
So 7
mm-hmm.
o'clock game, 11 o'clock, you're in the air, usually. And so we were on the plane at 10:50, and it snowed that day, you know, 8 or 9 inches, so it wasn't like nothing, but it's Detroit, right? So they should be able to clear runways
yes.
and de-ice planes quickly. And so you're sitting there at 10:50, you're thinking, okay, it's 9:50 back home, we're going to be home by 11,
yeah.
you know?
Fantastic.
It's going to be great, 11:30 maybe. And so then, you know, the other bus gets there, the players get on there, and the coaches get on board, and it's probably like 11:15 now. And so you're still thinking, okay, we're in business. But then, you know, we sat there for another, you know, almost 4 hours. We didn't take off from Detroit till almost 3 o'clock. It was 3 o'clock in the morning when we took off. And by the way, the Pistons were behind us in line. There was a line of planes. There was word that there was maybe, you know, 8-10 planes in line, and we were like, you know, 4 or 5 deep, and it was taking forever to get them off. They had to clear the runways. They had to de-ice the plane. And so, you know, I ended up getting home at 4:30 in the morning. Well, the Pistons had to go play in Miami. They got throttled, by the way.
Yeah. I should have bet that game off your tweet.
That was kind of my point of tweeting. Is like if you're so inclined,
yes.
if you're so inclined, the Pistons aren't going to get, and they didn't get into Miami
no.
at 6 a.m., but they get to the hotel at 6 a.m. So, but anyway, it's just one of those things. I'm not complaining.
No, but it's a pain in the behind. It is.
No, I know, but people, I got to the arena last night, and people are like, you know, oh, I heard about your big heart,
oh.
you know, first world problems.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah. you know, I didn't say it to complain about it. I said it merely to, you know, kind of illuminate the situation, kind of like here we are at 3 a.m. Isn't this funny? You know, and really I was concerned about de-icing the plane because it was taking them forever. And there was a lot, Chad, there was a lot of freaking ice on that wing.
Well, if it's 4 hours, there has to be a bit of a safety concern, too, when you're wondering, okay, why is it taking so long? Should I be worried about this? And you nailed it. It's Detroit. It's not like it was Phoenix. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they had 3 feet of snow.
Yeah, so it's just one of the quirks. You know, it happens all the time. We've had, you know, we've been down to Mexico City and the game was canceled because we got smoked out by a fire in the building. You know, we've had games canceled at Target Center because there was condensation on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, like
just a part of
happen that are inconveniences. But that was just a weird quirk, that's for sure.
All right, hang on. We're going to talk Andrew Wiggins with Jim Pete in just moments. Right back with you on WCCO. Right back here with Jim Peterson. Another great win for the Timberwolves last night. Decisive win over Greg Popovich's Spurs. The Wolves win by 15, and for a lot of the game, for a lot of the late third quarter, fourth quarter, wasn't even that close. Pete, for the obvious reasons, Andrew Wiggins is the story. Right? Another 30-point game last night. He adds 8 rebounds, 7 assists. So everybody has different theories on why it's finally clicking in, why he's playing so well. You see this every single day. You've watched every one of his games. What has clicked in?
You know, I think I'd have to ask Andrew, and I'm not even sure I would get a great answer. You know, because I think he's so underplays things. You know, like he doesn't really have a demonstrative sort of like thing that he can point to. Like I think when you talk to him about stuff, like I think he just thinks he's just playing well. Like he doesn't really have he can pinpoint an answer. But I have my theories, and so I think that number one. You know, I know his dad, Mitchell. I played with Mitchell mm-hmm. in Houston, and you know, just talking with Mitchell, I think that one of the things that you know you get from Mitchell is that Andrew's not a kid anymore. He's a grown man. He's a father. You know, and so I think when you have a family and you start thinking about your legacy, like how do you want your kids to look at you? I think that I'm just projecting now because I'm saying this is for mm-hmm. me, like what
sure.
I would
yep.
be thinking. I don't know if this is true, but I'm just saying like this is what I would say. I'm saying like having a legacy, having kids, having a family has a way of making you grow up and see things in a different way, I would imagine. So I think that could be part of it. I think that's certainly what I do know is that when Gerson Rosas came into the picture, his strategy was, I mean, he was and had a really holistic idea of what he wanted to do when he hit the ground running. You know, because you talked to him a bunch. So
mm-hmm.
you know
yep.
how developed his ideas of what he wanted to do and what he wanted to get done and how he wanted to connect with players was going to happen. So I think one of the, you know, I think I might have told you this when, you know, I was going through the interviewing process with all these candidates. One of the things that Gerson had, he had a slide where he had a picture of Towns and a picture of Wiggins. And underneath those two players, he had like the most important people in their lives, you know? And Gerson said that he was going to, you know, pretty much connect with all these people and like he, not just these two, but all the players on the roster. And he was going to, you know, do a deep dive and this was going to be a family atmosphere. Everything was going to be important to him. There was no small things. And so I think that the respect that Gerson and the level of interest he took in Andrew and wanting him to flourish, I think, has had an impact. And then I think part and parcel of that, too, is Andrew's relationship with Ryan Saunders, which is very deep. Ryan Saunders was one of the guys that was, you know, a workout guy for Andrew Wiggins, you know, growing up. So they had a really great relationship, as does Carl Anthony Towns and a lot of players, too, by the way. There's other factors too. I think David Vanterpool and Pablo Prigioni. I think both of those two guys, Chad. I think that David Vanterpool, like you know what he was able to do with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Those two were so bummed when he left Portland, and it was not just a small thing for them. It was a big deal. So I think that the pregame workouts I'm seeing that David Vanterpool puts Andrew through are much more regimented and on point and it's good stuff. So it's multifaceted. And I guess, you know, at some point we're going to have a real sit down. If this continues, there's got to be, you know, things that we can point to that are going to be fantastic.
Well, all those have merit. Let me just add a few things about what I see on the court too. I think it's very clear his ball handling is so much better. It is very clear the way Ryan has designed this offense with Pablo Prigioni that the floor is spread and it's allowing Andrew more moves. I think it's also clear that his decision-making, and he's still taking probably a few more mid-range shots than they would like, but his decision-making is better. To me, I see his pacing better, that he knows when to pull back. I think here's another thing that stands out to him, that last move he has now, and it's a variety of different ones, to create further separation. To me, it just seems like the number of forced contested shots we would watch Randall the first, you know, five some years of his career compared to this year, very different. How about some of those points?
Well, no, I totally agree that you know, that would have been probably my number one thing. It's just like if you just like look at it from a you know, strategic standpoint, the system.
Yep.
You know, because like so many times Andrew would drive a scene. And because, you know, Taj Gibson would be standing in the dunker spot along the baseline and Carl Anthony Towns might be in the other post. You know, you'd have two bigs in and around the lane area when Andrew would drive a seam and he'd try to do a spin, well, there'd be so much congestion, he'd get stripped. You know, and now he can straight line drive. He can stay squared up, keep his shoulder squared to the hoop, and he can spin, but he doesn't have to all the time because he can just get straight to the rim. So, the system, the five-out system of spreading the floor and having great spacing has definitely benefited him. And then, you know, when Karl-Anthony Towns is setting ball screens, Andrew's able to snake into the paint, and now he's taking on a big, who he can get by and elevate over versus having to be defended by guards. So I think all of those things have merit for sure.
Last thing, Teague comes back last night, plays well, in particular in the second half. I'd like to see him keep coming off the bench. Keep going with some combination of Andrew and Culver, Andrew and Okogie. Bring Teague off the bench. That doesn't mean Teague won't play big minutes late in the game, but I think it brings some nice balance and a nice initiator with your second group.
Yeah, and you know, I think too, getting Jarrett Culver some confidence. I mean, he was 6 of 10 last night against San Antonio, and he had 12 points in the game. You know, I think that Culver's showing signs of growing. I think that there was you could maybe say you were thinking about maybe bringing him into the lineup sooner than later, but I agree with you. I think that in some ways, Jeff Teague playing against second line guys would be a good idea, right? Because he was super aggressive. He comes back, and he's done that before, by the way, where he's come back from injury in the first game back, he kills, right? So it's a small sample size, but I agree with you. I wouldn't mind it. You know, I think that I could go either way, but it's nice to see Jarrett Culver get out there and be productive, and it's also nice seeing Andrew Wiggins handle the basketball more than he does if Jeff Teague's in the game.
That's Jim Pete. He'll be back in action a couple games this week with the Washington Wizards and the Houston Rockets. Two games you'll hear, by the way, with Alan Horton's excellent call on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.